Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
Am I looking? Can I do my hair here real quick? All right.
Won't you be my neighbor? My collaborator, my creative consultant. Did you know that when you donate your brain to art, you get to have it back afterwards? Better, stronger, faster. Test drive the hive mind with Crowd Creation, Daughter of God Cast Season 2. This is episode 081, Drawer. And I am one version of Dan Kelly, Shri Fuji Split, skidding into the superconscious from northern Michigan, where we're still enjoying a gorgeous cold winter. On the road ahead, there it is, a dense drift of fresh snow, wisping white in the wind. Let's hit the gas and slam on through, blinding ourselves with beauty. Feedback for Creaky. A woman peers out from a door ajar. A prolonged creak as she slowly opens the door, revealing an enigmatic figure, half smiling. She seems to recognize him, calling him by name. The feedback question was, what emotions does the woman experience as she opens the door? Fantastic feedback from our usual core and a recent arrival, Tim. Pam, via Facebook, weighed in with a vintage reference from the 80s. That's the 1980s, not the 1880s or the 2080s, which is coming, but the 1980s, which has just recently passed. And this reference she made, referring to the dude in the hallway of Creaky, Uncle Joe, she thought that was Freddy Krueger, the dream serial killer from Nightmare on Elm Street. I was 21 back in 1984 and was too busy raising my own sweet hell myself to bother with Freddy or the Nightmare franchise. Until checking Wikipedia today, or a couple days ago when I wrote this, I had only a vague notion of what the Nightmare on Elm Street story was all about. Here it is, the movie poster, but I want you to note, this is the blue movie poster, in case you're wondering as a listener what you should be looking at. And you notice in the upper right, there's a fedora silhouette, which is, again, kind of similar to what you saw in Creaky. And the cover of the score, the soundtrack, is strikingly similar to how Uncle Joe appears through the doorway in Creaky. Oops. Creaky's strong association and even homage to Nightmare on Elm Street is totally unintentional.
Cross my heart.
We'll have to consider whether this helps or hinders our movie, Daughter of God. I'm going to turn up the volume a little bit here so we get a little more sound. There we go. How's that? Sounding better? Better? Okay. We'll remember to turn up the beginning and turn down this part. So for Pam, the woman's emotional journey starts off kind of rough. At first, she seems a bit nonplussed, taken aback as she scans her visitor from toe to top. Snip. Recognition and realization cross her face as she slowly accepts him, and her smile turns into one of welcome. Then Pam offers a fascinating perspective. To me, it looks like she has made up her mind to greet him warmly, and I am not convinced. We are not convinced. I encouraged Pam to explain. I am not convinced, meaning that she is not authentically feeling warm towards him? What is she really feeling about him, do you think? Pam? And Pam responded, I think she is feigning her welcome, Snip. I don't know why she's not so happy to see him, maybe just surprised or taken aback, but then she decides there's no reason not to acknowledge him. For me, if he's been brought back from the dead or dying, I might have some hesitancy about my feelings. It seems creepy somehow. I love how Pam steps into the shoes of the woman, kind of wearing her. Pam is the woman in the doorway, an ideal perspective for offering robust feedback. Take note, folks, if you're wanting to offer feedback, can you kind of slip into the character's skin? That's a good way to go. Timothy, our new guy, Timothy via Facebook, best door opening sound effects ever. Me, I responded to him. I agree totally, but how does it make you feel?
Well, it was sort of like pulling off a Band-Aid. Maybe she was afraid of what she was going to see, but just whip it open. She's only making it worse, Snip. I do think the door sound was a little over the top, though. In the back of my mind, I was picturing you farting into the microphone.
I resisted the temptation to look up the world record for longest fart in the Guinness Book. Door creak as fart was also corroborated by Seamus, which may say more about Timothy and Seamus than this sound effect. And perceiving the door creak as a super long fart might be a happy accident. Seamus called it a comedic moment. Tim likened her door opening to pulling a Band-Aid off. He wanted her just to yank the door open and get it over with, which implies the woman has some kind of a wound, and the guy in the hallway is somehow involved with her wound, and now she's got to do self-care. Tim's experience is packed with inferences, which demonstrates a connection to the woman, kind of like Pam. She's not doing what Tim would do, and so he's feeling annoyed. Tearing off bandages is probably not standard first aid practice, so Tim's really talking about how he would open the door, which is wonderful. It's super cool. This feedback process is so amazing. I think I just learned something new about the woman from Tim. I wrote her lines. I directed the actor, Carmen Althaus, that plays the woman. There shouldn't be anything I don't know about this woman. Yet, Tim's Band-Aid metaphor is rich with insight, wounds, and self-care. Wow. Thanks, Tim, and welcome to the crowd creation. We're glad to have you.
One ping only, Vasily. One ping only, Vasily.
No, I can't quite do Sean Connery. Seamus via Dog.movie offered a wide spectrum of emotional experience.
She looks like she experiences hesitation, then mildly alarmed puzzlement, then bemused acceptance.
And then Seamus dropped a wild card.
It looks like she was expecting him to show up, but didn't know when.
That feels resonant for me. Here again, new insight into the woman's character. How long had she been waiting? Minutes? Weeks? Years? As if aboard a sleep ship sent to colonize a distant star system, the crew revived just before planetfall. Return to the busyness of waking life. Has she just been activated after a long dormancy? Coming online? Nice one, Seamus. Joe via Facebook offered this poetic impression about the woman's experience.
Serenity, then arousal. Slightly sexual. And then genuine joy. The door creak made me think of the way when we're entranced or focused, we can utterly disregard something otherwise awkward or annoying. Also made me think of how reality moves so slowly compared to memory or thoughts or dreams.
That's pretty cool, right? And this from James via Dog.movie.
She looks calm, mellow, quietly awed, friendly, tender, curious, and spellbound.
Those are some sweet adjectives, James. Think I could suck it out of this jar from a distance? That'd be cool, right? You could just see right across there. It's not gonna happen. Not tonight. We'll just drink it like normal. Like Pam, Tim, and Seamus, Scott via Vimeo identifies a harsh initial emotional state for the woman. Her faith begins in a cautious barely recognizing gaping stare, then blossoms and grows luminous. Snip. Both Scott and Pam remarked favorably on the dead birds carry contagion poster behind Uncle Joe. With all Scott's erudite commentary, his key contribution this episode was a more meta inquiry. You discuss the many ways that comments have helped shape the movie. Might you soon be able to give an example of an instance that feedback, snip, has resulted in you editing a scene differently? Adding, subtracting something from a scene, question mark, snip. How is it really affecting change in your process, question mark. I responded thus. You bring up a great point that I've been pondering. As you already know, we are inventing this crowd creation on the fly. We meaning me and everyone who's offering feedback. I want feedback that's pure, uncontaminated by my preconceptions about what the scene is about or even any context of surrounding story. The less I can say about the scene in the way of setup, the better. This kind of refers back to the last episode where I got kind of clear after Kirk asked for some more backstory resources. Feedback can be emotional responses, associations, triggered memories, guesses about what might be going on, and interpretations of what the characters could be experiencing. I especially dig when folks riff on the themes, spin off variations, and totally new scenarios like Allison and Seamus have done for past scenes. From my perspective, feedback hints at whether the effect of the scene A, matches my expectations, B, exceeds my expectations, C, is problematically dissonant from my intentions, D, is catastrophically dissonant from my intentions, E, deliciously subverts my intentions, introducing exciting new possibilities. I haven't disclosed what I've learned from the feedback so far because I haven't wanted to contaminate feedback from folks that might join us in the future. However, snip, I've got to share the evolution somehow. So, along with new scenes, I want to start reposting scenes with feedback-inspired revisions and request impressions again. Somehow, this would include a discussion of changes and the rationale for same. So, the crowd creation is shifting. I felt a yearning for more, and Scott tuned into this cosmic vibe. So more soon on that. And here's our new scene, drawer. Relations have gone from awkward to incoherent between our two seemingly mismatched people. Both seem frustrated and slightly on edge, but a drawer of vintage paperbacks points to an epiphany. And here's the feedback question. Besides the man and the woman, what other characters might be active in this scene? Okay, so that's our episode 081, Drawer. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to your observations, insights, and grousing. And if you've never feedbacked before, you can feedback anytime, anytime. Jump right in. The water is, oh, so fine. Oh, it's ice cold because it's a Wim Hof day. The Daughter of Godcast crowd creation is such a cinematic innovation, we might as well be speaking Francais. Auguste and Louis Lumière, Georges Méliès, and Jean-Luc Godard have nothing on you all. Even though I'll be in the credits for Daughter of God as the writer, director, and special effects supervisor, you are making this movie. Your feedback causes me to lollop and cavort like an ecstatic puppet, almost a real boy. Your feedback is my soma, my rocket fuel, my blueprint for awakening hearts and minds to the dawning of a sustainable civilization. Just as Harleys are more brand than bike, Daughter of God is way more movement than a movie. Art is the answer. Ecstatic dance, our revolution. To paraphrase that sexy bitch, Emma Goldman. Or Michigan's own Voltairine Declare, a total babe.